Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise God. Sit down if you can. Isn't Jesus wonderful? I said, isn't Jesus wonderful? Praise the Lord. Praise God. I was telling somebody back there a while ago, I said, don't you feel sorry for all the folks that made their mind up yesterday they weren't going to come to church today because it was going to be raining? Yes. I'm so happy you're here today. Praise God. How many know we set our minds to things and that's the direction our lives go? I want to share a little bit about that with you today. Good to see you. How many are glad to be seen? Hallelujah. Charles Ames is 89 years old today. Praise God. Praise God. I told him a while ago, I said, I want to be just like you when I grow up. Grow up. I've already grown out. Now it's time to grow up. So, oh, good to see you. I didn't see many hands when we asked for first-time attenders, but I did see several of you and meet you before the service, and if you come up afterwards, I'd like to give you a little gift. But anyway, we love you. We love you. Look at somebody around you and say, I love you. Now look at somebody beside your husband or wife and say it. Of course, it's pretty good to say it to them once in a while. Some of us tell our pets we love them more than we tell our mates. Did you notice that? Praise the Lord. Whatever it is, God can't break the chain in your life. Are you listening? God can't break the chain in your life if you won't lay it down. I said, God can't break those chains in your life if you won't lay it down. So whatever it is, yes, whatever it is that's hindering you, whatever it is that's stuck in your craw, whatever it is that's stuck in your mind, let it go. Life's too short. Let it go, okay? And I promise you, whatever it is, you're not going to be worried about it 100 years from now. Or 1,000. Or 1,000,000. We're going to still be, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, good music. Have y'all got a few minutes? If you got a few minutes, I'll share something with you here. Huh? I want to look at Ephesians. I want to read you a verse out of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And let me just say, I'm just going to say something to everyone here. If you probably need, I'll read a few scriptures to you today, but you probably need to write these scriptures down and read them during the week. Keith Moore was talking to me here a while back. And he said, well, now, I went down to Branson to hear him. Don't look at me so startled. Huh? And he showed up there to talk. And I showed up there to listen. And so, he talked to me. See, it's your choice today whether I talk to you or not. That's your choice, okay? Paul said it a different way. He said, if you have ears to hear, hear. But he started to talk and he said to me, he said, you need to write down all these scriptures today because you might need them. And I thought, well, they got them on the screen. I'm just going to let him minister to my spirit. And he did. But it was a short time later, I was out in life. How many's ever been out in life? And I faced some situations, and I went, oh man, Keith talked about this. God, what was that scripture? What was that scripture that he said about that? And I got silence. And then I heard a little still small voice in me say, Hank, I told Keith to tell you to write down those scriptures that you might need them. But you wanted to do it your way. So get in the book and find it for yourself. Anyway, you might want to write these down today. Ephesians chapter 20, and I'll hasten on here, says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Father, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you for the service. We thank you that you've ministered to us. We thank you, Lord, that you brought our campers back safe and that you touched their life. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with these that we send this week and you're going to do something spectacular in their life. God, we thank you for your Bible school, the VBS that we're going to have, and we're going to touch hundreds of kids' lives. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the Joyful Hearts Conference that's coming up, and we believe you, God, to move mightily in these things. And right now, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Little boy in his backyard one night with his BB gun, and he was shooting up in the air. And his little sister came out and said, what are you doing out here shooting this BB gun in the dark? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. And the little sister said, oh, how silly. Don't you know you can't hit the moon? And the little boy looked at his sister and said, maybe not, but I'm getting closer to it than you are. I ask you today, what are you shooting for? What are you shooting at? What are you aiming for? What are you asking for? What are you believing for? I asked somebody the other day, I said, what are you believing for? And they said, I guess nothing. And I said, you're probably getting it, aren't you? What are you believing for? He says here that God, he says, give glory to God because God wants to do something in your life, Hank, exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. The power that works in you. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The power that works in you. So many times we find ourselves in life at a crossroads and we don't know what to do, and too many times we don't do anything. Well, I can tell you what, that's definitely the wrong thing to do. A great philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. He's one of my heroes. The power that works in us. Verse 17 here says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that he might dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend all that love that God has for you. You see, the power that works in you is your faith. The power that works in you is the Holy Spirit revealing the Father to you and revealing His love to you. The more you realize how much God loves you, the more your faith grows. Real quick, I want to read you 1 John. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, in this is love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see what he's saying here? He's saying the big deal isn't that we love God. The big deal is he loves us. Everybody say, God loves me. And drop down to 17, says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now listen, I know there's going to be an end time judgment, but the day of judgment is the day you face your circumstances. Your day of judgment is the day you face life, the day that all the things happen to you, the day that everything's trying to kill your faith, the day that everything's trying to stop you. That's your day of judgment. And he says, hey, the big deal is what's going to really pull you through, what's going to really make it happen for you in that day of judgment is that it's not that you love God, but it's that you know that he loves you. And if you know that, you can face your day with boldness. Not because of you, because of him. And it says, just like he is, so are we in this world. Catch that statement. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, I don't know, we all face fears, and we all have fears, and we all have those times in our life, but it's a knowledge, it's a revelation of that love that God has for us that drives out fear. He says it cast it out. That word that cast it out there, I mean, it throws it and doesn't care where it lands. Just gets rid of it. You see, because fear is the opposite of your faith, and what God is trying to do, what the Holy Spirit in us is trying to do, is reveal that love to us, reveal that goodness to us. Realizing how much God loves you will build your faith. Now remember that statement this week, because you're going to face something that's going to cause you to doubt, going to cause you to fear, going to cause you to worry, going to cause anxiety in your life. And if you'll stop it in its tracks and say, man, God loves me. I know you love me, God, and I know this thing will pass, and I know it'll cast out the fear. So, realizing he loves you. See, now I want to talk to you today a little bit about, how do you think? And I'm not just going to talk about, you know, what do you believe? How do you think? I'm not just talking about when you think a thought. How many know we all think thoughts that we wish we wouldn't have thought? But more than that, I want to talk to you about what kind of habit are you in of thinking? Y'all aren't with me yet. If you get with me, I can finish this up real quick. Two shoe salesmen went to a real remote part of the world, a part where nobody, it was in the jungle, nobody wore shoes. And one shoe salesman called back home and said, there's no need to send any shoes over here, because over here nobody wears shoes. The second salesman called back home and he said, send all the shoes you can send over here, every shoe you can find, send it to me, because nobody over here has any shoes. Amen. How do you think? You have to answer this for yourself. How do you think? What's your habit of thinking? Do you think about the possibilities with God, or do you think about the limitations in your life? Amen. Do you think about all that God can do, or do you think about all the reasons why he wouldn't do it in your life? Second Corinthians 11:3. I want to read you that verse. We're talking about how do you think? See, because if your habit of thinking isn't right, you can change that, and you can begin to change it today. Oh, it won't happen overnight. But you can change it today. You can begin to change it. Paul said something to the Corinthians. In chapter 11, verse 3, he said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Do you see how all this mess started? It started by the devil getting in Eve's thinking, in her mind. Are you with me? Stay with me. Don't make me start over again. The mind, the way, the thoughts she thought, the way she thought. That's why Paul, when you back up the chapter, back up into 10, this is what Paul said here. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now I could spend some time on this, but I want to go somewhere here real quick. Your thinking becomes a stronghold in your life. The song we just sang, "Break every chain." He cannot break a chain in your life if you continue to think the same way. If you continue to worry about that thing, he can't fix it. He can't break it. If you can lay it down, it doesn't matter whose fault it was. It doesn't matter how bad it was. It doesn't matter nothing. It doesn't matter. Lay it down. Cast it away and get on with what God's got for you. Now, those thoughts, he's talking about the weapons of our warfare here. Listen, what's he talking about? The battle is in your mind. The battle starts there. And your thoughts, your body, your life will follow the habit of your thoughts. Your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. I say that a lot. I'm going to keep saying it until we all realize what it means. But he says here, those thoughts and those arguments, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does he say? He says, cast them down, get rid of them. Everything, every thought, every argument, everything that comes against the knowledge of God. Now listen to this. The knowledge of God, knowing God's nature, knowing who He is, but knowing how He feels about you, knowing how much He loves you. We just had some knowledge here out of 1 John when he said, the big deal isn't that you love me, Hank. The big deal is I love you. Your love can falter, but my love can't. So anything, what does he say? Anything that comes against the knowledge of God. Well, let me give you a little bit of knowledge of God here, okay? Ephesians 2, and I don't see very many writing, but that's okay. You'll have to hunt them up for yourself whenever you need them. Tuesday. Now he's talking here. He's just been through this. Paul just saying, "Oh, I just pray that you get a revelation. I just pray that you'd get a." He's talking here about, he talks about that you get a revelation of God, get a revelation of how he feels about it, get a revelation of what he's done for you, get a revelation. And in verse 2 of chapter 2, he goes and he said, he made you alive. And he goes on here, but I like verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Now listen, did you hear those phrases? Hear those phrases? I'm going to verse 7, but did you hear those phrases? Rich in mercy. That means he's got a whole bunch of it. Huh? Rich in mercy, that means he's got more of it than he's ever been able to give away. Because his great love with which he loved us. Everybody say, man, God loves me. Everybody didn't say that. Say, oh, God loves me. If you say it enough times, you'll end up believing it, okay? But anyway, he goes on and he says that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Verse 6, he says that he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Raised us up to a position of authority. Raised us up to a position of favor. He raised us up and seated. The picture I got in my mind, the picture I saw, was when my boys were little. And one of them would run by and I would swoop him up in my arms. And I would raise him up and look him in the eye. And I would see in his eyes that he knew how much daddy loved him. He knew he had a daddy that loved him. And can you see yourself as God scoops you up and puts you in his eye? He raised us up, seated us together with him. Raised us up, received. When we received Jesus, he raised us up to a new level. He raised us up and put us in a new position. Something we'd never been before. And we're spending our time thinking about what we used to be and how bad we are and how all the rest of that stuff, instead of beginning to see and think about who we are. He raised us up. He didn't push us down. Any thought that comes to you that's pushing you down, that's belittling you, that's tearing you down, that's not coming from God, because he raises you up. You're the only one that can do. You're the only one that can do anything about your thoughts. But he raised us up. He raised us up to the same level as Jesus. Amen. And verse 7 tells us why. Why did he raise us up? Why? Verse 7 tells us, says, that in the ages to come. Now let me just stop right there. We're in the ages to come. Okay? Paul said this 2,000 years ago, in the ages to come, what? He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The riches of his grace, what does that mean? That means he had a bunch of grace. Riches of his grace, that means he's got a lot more grace than he's ever been able to show. Except now he even puts another word in there, exceedingly. Amen. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. How? In his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you see what he's saying here? God's kind. Amen. He said, I want to show you, Hank, how much I love you. I'm going to show it to you by how kind I can be to you. Amen. See, somebody listening to me, you just have thought recently, oh, God was just about to swat you. He was just about to box your jaws. He was just because you're so messed up. No. He says, I'll be kind to you and I'll show you. Read Isaiah 54. He's covenant of peace. How he said he would be after Jesus came. His kindness. I'm going to show you how rich my grace is. I'm going to show you how abundant my grace is. I'm going to show you how good I am and how much I love you by being kind to you. Oh, and I got to do verse 10 here because I always read this wrong. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I always read that, and I thought he was talking about my good works, that I should do good works. Well, how many know we should do good works? But he's not talking about my good works here. He's talking about God's good works. When you read this verse later, read the whole chapter, right before that, he just gets through saying, it's not by works. He's talking about his grace. It's not by works, lest you could boast. He look here what he says here. He says that you are his workmanship. He created you so that you could walk in his good works, in his goodness, the things that he did before time ever was, before you were ever here. Read it. He made us, he created us, so we could walk in his goodness, so we could walk in his favor. I just don't believe that. I know. That's what I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you because you're in a habit of thinking. That's why God can't do the exceeding abundantly above what you'll ask or think. That's why he's not able to do. He's going to always bless you. He's going to always, God's good. His blessings are always coming. But have you got enough? Have you had all of them you want? Is everything happening in your life that you think God wants to happen in your life? That's why I'm trying to change that 6 inches between your ears. Huh? That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. That's what Paul was saying when he said, cast down those arguments, cast down those imaginations, cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge. Get that out of your mind. Quit thinking that way is what he's saying, because it'll become a stronghold in your life. Oh, you'll still make it to heaven, but you'll live like hell while you're here. Yeah, it is, where two of us will agree. Well, think about that. I've said that before. I just usually didn't take that much time on that verse. But that's a revelation to me. Because I just always thought, I'm created to do good works, and we are created, we are to do good works, and that's part of it, you know. But the only problem is with that, I can't ever do works that I think are good enough. No matter what I do, it's not enough. God said, I know. That's why I give you grace. It's not because you do it, it's because I did it for you. Now will you receive by faith what I want to do, and it'll cause you, if you'll get a revelation of my love, it'll cause you to do more good works than you're doing the other way. Because you won't be spending time with all that stinking thinking. You'll be thinking about me and my goodness and how good I am. And man, the gooder I am to you, the gooder you'll want to be to everybody else. That's what he said in 1 John there. Read it. He said, if we know God loves us that much, shouldn't we love each other? Well, of course you will. When you're not loving somebody else, it's usually because you don't like yourself. And you're getting down on yourself, and it's coming out like poison to everybody else you get around, and people are walking away going, they don't like me. He doesn't like me. She doesn't like me. Well, you really do, but it didn't come out that way because you don't like yourself. And you're spending all your time trying to do... Anyway, let's move on. Well, And I love verse 13. He goes on to say here, but now in Christ, he's talking here about how we were separated from God and how we were alienated. And it says, but now, verse 13, but now you're brought near, you're brought to me. But now you're not away from me anymore. Now I'm scooped you up in my arms. Now I've raised you up and seated you in heavenly places with your Lord Jesus Christ. I've raised you up and we're together now. We're one. You with me? Well, that makes me look at verse Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, I love this verse. I always just read the one after that. And then one time I looked back the verse and I went, wow. It says, in giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You ever feel unqualified? Huh? I'm just not qualified to be the pastor. I know, but he qualified me. Every time that thought comes to you, I'm just not qualified. I know you're not. But God qualified you. He qualified you anyway. He goes on to here to say that he transferred us out of the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of Jesus, into the kingdom of God. But listen to what he says. He qualified you to be a partaker. You know, I know some givers that they can't hardly receive. Huh? I like to find a giver that's just into giving all the time and walk up and slip them a $100 bill or something. He qualified you to be a partaker of what? Of the inheritance. Well, okay, I'm qualified. How many here is qualified? Well, let's start back over again. Ephesians. I'm qualified. How many here are qualified? I'm not qualified because of Hank. I'm qualified because God qualified me to be a partaker. Tim, you hearing this? He qualified me. He qualified you to be a partaker. Amen. That's great, but a partaker of what? That's like saying, man, I gave you a big bank account and then not telling you what bank it's in, huh? Yeah. Look at Galatians 3 real quick. Look at Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. Now, I'm picking out some verses, and if you're writing these down and you get to reading these and meditating and start reading the verses around them this week, your life is going to dramatically change. Even if you know what I'm talking about. And I know most of you know what I'm talking about because you've already sit there and thought, well, yeah, I've heard this before. I know what he's going to. Yeah, but it's not happening in your life. But it's going to. Everybody say it's going to happen in my life. Everybody said it's going to happen in my life. Okay, let's 13 and 14. He says here, chapter 3 of Galatians, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now he redeemed us. Verse 14 tells us why he redeemed us. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He redeemed us so that we could partake of the inheritance. He qualified me so that I could partake of the... Are you with me? Amen. Of the inheritance. How are you thinking? How are you thinking? I love this part of this scripture here. It says that the blessings of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on. Everybody say, come on. Come on. Bring it on. It'll come on if I know all the formulas, if I know all the right verses, if I have enough knowledge in my head, if I've studied the Bible. No, listen, you should do all that. But no, he just says, if you'll realize this and realize who you are and realize what he did for you with Jesus, the blessing, they'll come on you. What are you, how are you thinking? Man, are you walking down the road every day going, "Ooh, I don't know what's going to happen, man, but something good's about to happen to me. The blessing's about to come on me. I don't know what's happening here, but man, I know if I start touching stuff, something's going to be blessed. I don't know what's going on, but man, God's blessing's going to come on me." Oh, and hold it. Let's work a little bit for him. Let's get our mind, you know, let's straighten up our life a little bit for him. Folks, I'm telling you, all that stuff will start happening when the blessings start coming on you. When you start realizing how much God loves you. When you start getting that knowledge of God, you'll start cleaning up. You'll start straightening up. You don't even have to give it effort. You don't even have to. You just won't want to do that anymore. Quit looking for an excuse to fail. Quit looking for an excuse to use. Quit looking for an excuse to do what you always did because you want to do it. Quit looking for an excuse and just stop it. Just get next to Jesus. Let him raise you up in his arms and you won't want to do it anymore. You won't have to spend 3 hours talking about it. Yeah, I'm trying. See, how are you thinking? God loves me. He wants to bless me. I don't know how in the world I got in this mess, but bless God, I'm going to get out of it because he's going to show me the way out. He's going to help me. And hopefully, Kenny, I'll learn something from it so I don't get in this predicament again. But if I do, he's still going to help me out of it again because his blessings are coming on me. My heart's towards him. He's just looking to and fro across the earth for anybody he can prove himself strong for. Man, he loves me. He's for me. He did it for me. Everybody say, he did it for me. Well, now, I want to tell you something. I want to point something out here real quick. I'll dismiss you now, but I got to finish this, okay? You're dismissed. But I'm going to finish, okay? I want to point something out to you. God's not blessing you. He's blessing Jesus. Now listen to me. If you're in Jesus, the blessing will come on you. But the promise isn't to you or to me. The promise was to Jesus. Look at verse 16. Where am I at here? There it is. It says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds," plural, "as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, Abraham, who is Christ." See, you're not receiving your inheritance. You're receiving Jesus' inheritance. Now verse 22, praise God, he pulls us into the mix here. I was a little nervous when I read that. He says, "But the scripture has confined that all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." What's the power that works in you? Faith in Jesus. I might not know how to believe for my healing, but I know how to have my faith in Jesus. I might not know all the right things to do and say, but my faith's in Jesus. I might not know how to dot every I and cross every T, but my faith's in Jesus. And I know my Father loves me. And he's looking at my heart. He's not looking at my mind. He's not looking at my efforts. He's looking at my heart. And God, no matter what, I love you with all my heart, God. And Jesus, you're my Lord. Then let me read 26 through 29 here real quick. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now listen, he's not talking about water baptism there. We use this verse for water baptism, and I do too, and I'll keep doing it, but that's not what he's talking about. I'll keep doing it because you get nervous if I don't. Okay? But he's talking about being baptized in Christ. He's talking about letting the Holy Spirit of God that's in you baptize you in Jesus. He says you've put on Christ. We talked about the armor last week. You've put it on. You put that armor on. It's just a mental thing that you put it on. If you weren't here, you need to get the CD of that. The whole message, not just what was on TV. But you put the armor on. You see, I, my life, I'm girded with the truth of God. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I'm right with Him because of what Jesus did. My feet are shod and they're ready to go. I'm taking the gospel of peace. I have a shield that I can quench every fiery dart the devil throws at me. I can get it. I can stop it. Every one of them. And my mind's been renewed. I've put on the helmet. I've renewed my mind with the Word of God, and I take that Word of God and I use it as a sword, because it'll cut the devil's head off everything he tries to do. It'll win. It'll get it every time. And I pray always. I'm constantly keeping in communication with Daddy through His Spirit. Put on Christ. There is neither, I gotta hurry here. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're not you anymore, now you're Jesus. Amen. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, singular, and heirs according to the promise. Now, why is that important? See, because maybe you're not worthy, but Jesus is. Amen. Would He really bless you? I don't know. Would He bless Jesus? I just don't know if He'd do it for you or not, but. But would He do it for Jesus? Yeah. You understand the blessings he's doing when you receive the blessing, He's doing them to Jesus. Yeah. So every time you're not worthy, say, I know, but Jesus is. Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't do everything right to receive your healing. I know, but Jesus did everything right. Yeah, but you know, you don't know enough. I know, but I have the Jesus knew enough, and I have His Spirit inside of me, and His Spirit knows everything, so I don't have to have a book on it. I've got Him. Amen. He'll bring to my remembrance everything I need to know. Are you with me? I'm trying to give you some knowledge of God here. Let me 4 through 7 real quick. He says, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you understand where He's trying to take us? How do you think? How are you thinking? He says, renew your mind. Renew it with the Word. Cast down those arguments. Man, you're somebody. You belong to God. You're in Jesus. Now, if you get out of Him... But don't get out of Him. Stay in Him. That armor of God, when you put that on, that's putting on Jesus. Study that armor out. That's putting on Jesus. And when you put on Jesus, the devil looks at you and he just thinks, you're Jesus. Man, don't get out there acting ugly. And you go, oh, that's not Jesus. that's Hank. That's not Jesus. Get him, boys. Huh? The devil's not a dummy. I mean, he's got brain damage because Jesus bruised his head, but he's not dumb. He can tell if you're acting like Jesus or not. Well, you see the promise? God said the promise is, Hank, you'll never be apart from me again. Hank, I'm raising you up. Come to Papa. I'm raising you up. I'm putting a spirit in you. I'm raising you up. You belong to me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do it. It's all because of Jesus. So maybe you don't deserve it, but Jesus does. And you know what? If he's making you sick, not one of us here that don't have the opportunity to be sick. Not one of us here that sickness and stuff doesn't come to us. But hold it, man. If you're messing with me, devil, you're messing with Jesus. Do you think Jesus is sick? Well, Jesus, if you're not sick, then I'm not going to be either. I had a week or so ago, I had four people call me up and tell me about this thing they got. And it started in their chest. And tell me about this thing they got. And man, I listened to it and I prayed for them and I thought about it. And after about 5 or 6 days of thinking about that, I was breathing and I felt something when I breathed. And I go, oh, that's coming to me too. And I said, no, 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 wait a minute. No, 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 no. You can't do that to Jesus. Now I'll probably get a chance to say that again after a while or tomorrow again. But that's okay. Because every time we go through something and we use our faith to come out of it, we're stronger. And he isn't able to get us as much the next time as he got us this time. Amen. You see, we're growing. And in the process of our growing, if we're giving it everything we know and doing everything we know to do, his grace covers all the gray area. Amen. So if I don't get every T crossed and every I dotted, whoop, need your grace today, God. Show me some of that mercy. See, your willpower won't cause those cancer cells to die in your body. Just because you say the right things won't cause that. You should. And you should work at it. And you should think about it. No, those stripes of Jesus are what caused those cancer cells to die in your body. Amen. And I just feel like I need to say right now, cancer, every cancer cell in this body right now, in this people right now, every cancer cell, whether they know about it or whether they don't know about it, I curse you in Jesus' name. And I tell you to dry up by the root just like the fig tree did and you die. Do you agree with that? Give God some praise. Okay, we're done. Let me wrap this up here. What did 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 say? It said, cast down every argument against the knowledge of God. Every argument that comes to you and tells you maybe it's your lot in life. Every thought that comes to you, every argument that comes to you and tells you God doesn't like you. Every argument that comes to you and tells you, points out your inferiors, your how inferior you are, your points out those bad things. Hey, you cast those things down. They're coming against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is he loves you, he cares about you, he paid a price for you. And he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. That's the knowledge of God. That's not all of it, but that's it. If you can get that much, if you can get that much, bring all those thoughts into captivity. Bring all those things into captivity. Now, everyone here, probably most of us here, we have a little battle with self-esteem. And when you see somebody that's not, usually they're so full of pride that's really worse than having low self-esteem. But every one of us here, we know ourselves better than anybody else. And you know, truth is, I don't need you telling me how bad I am. I know how bad I am. Okay? And I don't need to tell you how bad you are. I don't need to tell you your faults. I need to tell you something that'll raise you up. I need to lift you up. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that'll point those flaws out to you. And He'll show you what to do about them. And if you do something about it, the chains will get set free. They'll break. You'll get set free. Amen. So cast it down. He's for you. He's not against you. You got His favor in your life. He's got good things planned for you. He's got great things planned for you. Don't listen to the other stuff. If those other things are coming to you, they're not anything that's coming to you to try to defeat you or stop you. Cast it down. It's coming against the knowledge of God in your life. So now, what scripture did we start off with? Ephesians 20? Or Ephesians 4:20? 3:20? Now, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to that power that works in you. What are you shooting at? What are you going after? If you're going after nothing, you'll get it. But if you're going after something, well, what if I try and it doesn't work? If you try, you're going to get closer to it than if you didn't try. Amen. See, if whatever you're thinking about, He's going to do more than what you're thinking about, exceeding abundantly more than what you're thinking about, what you're asking for. Man, get to asking, get to thinking. I just thought about something. We are in the ages to come. Okay? We're there. I've been saved 41 years, going on 42 years. And I've been hearing what God's gonna do. I've been hearing what God's capable of doing. I'm reading here, Paul 2,000 years ago is telling what God's going to do, what He wants to do, what He's capable of doing. Did you ever stop to think maybe He wants to do it now? Huh? Maybe now He wants to cause His goodness to come on you and overtake you now. When you don't deserve it, now, what God's going to do, maybe he wants to do it now. Maybe now, in a time when our world seems to be so messed up, when everything seems to be going against God, when everything's going south, the economies of the nations, the things, and man, you can turn on the news and you just be wringing your hands after a while. Maybe right now, in the middle of all this mess, God wants to find a people and raise up a people that love Him and keep Him first and will live for Him regardless and do great and mighty things in their life and let all the world see how good He is. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm volunteering. Lord, if that's what's on your mind, look at big boy here. If that's what you're really thinking, look my way. Don't wait for me to get perfect. You just start doing it, and I'll keep working on my end. Maybe right now is where He wants to raise Hank up or raise Ron up or raise Steve up. Or maybe right now is when He wants to raise you up and put so much wealth on you that there's not room enough to receive it and you know what to do with it. Maybe maybe now, when everything's failing, God would like to find somebody. Maybe He's looking to and fro across the earth, Doc, just for anybody whose heart's perfect towards Him, so He can prove Himself strong in their behalf. What are you shooting for? I'm going to shoot for the sky. I'm driving the other day and I started thinking. And this is what I told God. I didn't even think about it when I started saying it. And it was like I started saying it and I was listening to myself saying it. And I was going, yeah, keep saying it. Yeah. I was building myself up, Kenny. I said, God, I am thankful. I am happy. You have blessed me. I have a good wife. I have a nice car. I have a nice house. You have blessed me. I have the greatest people in the world to be their pastor. You have blessed me. I am happy with what you've done. I am happy where I'm at. But God, I haven't forgotten those dreams you put in my heart. I haven't forgot those dreams, God. And I'd still like to see those things come to pass. And Father, if you've put them in my heart, if it was really you, you can bring them to pass. So I'm not going to lay down yet, Kenny. I'm not going to give up yet, Eugene. Dan, I'm not going to just kind of idly let it go. No. I'm going to stir up the gift in me. Because I believe I serve a God who's more than enough. A God who's more than able. A God who wants to do something mighty in some people's lives. Not so He can do it in your life, but so that everybody can see how great Jesus is. They're His blessings, not ours. Well, all I can say is, go ahead and stand. All I can say is, Father, I volunteer. I volunteer. I volunteer. I'm happy. If He never does anything else, man, I'm happy. Huh? Oh, man, you guys bless me. I'm happy, but I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. I'm happy. God's put a dream in your heart. I don't care if you're 90. I don't care if you're 89. I don't care if you're 65. I don't care if you're 14. God's put a dream in your heart. He's put some things in your heart. And the fact that you're still breathing is evident that He still can bring those dreams to pass. Will you keep dreaming them? Will you keep thinking? Will you keep asking? I wonder who in here will begin to imagine some big things with me for a few weeks here. Just begin to imagine some big things. And then watch Him do more than you can imagine. Well, praise God. I got us ready for the next message anyway. I love you. The only reason I can love you so much is just because I know how much God loves you. And He's put that love in my heart and He's put it in your heart. And you know, I want everything. I just want good things for you. I just want Him to be able to do in your life everything He desires to do. And if you'll just want that too, you watch stuff start happening. You watch things start changing. And my heart today is for whoever here that doesn't know Jesus. Whoever here, you don't know for sure. You don't know for sure if you died right now, you'd go be with Him. You don't know for sure. And if that's you, I want you to come. We're going to sing a song real quick here, and I want you to come. If you need to be saved, if you need to be baptized, maybe you need to be prayed for, maybe the enemy's been trying to fight you physically and you need to be prayed for, we'll anoint you with oil, we'll pray for you. Maybe you just need a prayer partner to join with you in prayer. The Bible says where two or more will agree, He'll hear us in heaven. So maybe you just want somebody to agree with you, and if that's you, you come. Whatever you need to come for, hurry. We'll just sing one verse here. Come on, if you're going to come, come. Others are coming. If you need to receive Jesus, that'll just come while they're coming. Oh, God loves you. He wants good things for you. He wants to bless you. Who else? Come on, who else? Who else? Come on. We got somebody ready to baptize you if you need to be baptized in water today. Say, well, how do I know if I need to be baptized? Well, have you ever been? If you haven't been, then you need to. But if you hear that small voice inside that's telling you to do it, do it. Got somebody ready to baptize you. What do you need? If you need something, come. Come. Praise Him. Worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Ron, come and agree with them. Come agree with them. Just agree. Where two of us will agree. I hope you've received something from the Lord today. Bow with me real quick. Father, we just come before you. We believe, Lord, that you want to do those big things in our life. And as the pastor, Lord, I'm asking for this people. I'm asking that you prove yourself strong for them. I'm asking you, God, to come on them with your glory so heavy, so strong, that the anointing flows off of them to everybody they get around. And because of your goodness manifesting in our life, people all over this area will come to you, Jesus. They'll come to you. And we praise you, and we thank you. Right now, I speak God's blessings on you. I speak His blessings into your life. And I want you to leave here today knowing God's good, and He loves you. Everybody, before you leave, just look at somebody and say, God's good, and He loves you, and He loves me. Hey, I love you. We'll be here tonight at 6. If any of you can come, we'll be across the way. If not, we'll see you next week. Tell somebody you love them before you get out. If you're a first-time attender, I'd love to shake your hand before you get gone.